Great to be here tonight with all of you saints. Thanks very much, Tony, for the songs there that are quite pertinent to what's going on in our country today. And then seeing the results to come in the near future, hopefully. Let's open up with a word of prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, so many things we're thankful for, to be in this country of liberty, that so many men and women died for to grant us this liberty. We should really understand the price they paid for us to have the freedoms that we have. We should study this probably in our lives and never let that out of our consciousness about the country that we live in. Probably we could travel to other countries and then we would maybe thoroughly understand how free and how great this place is. We pray that we might concentrate on who we are in the Lord, and that we never let this knowledge stray too far from our beings. For wherever we are, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial, no matter what the country, we are adopted sons of God, and that's who we are. And we should never let that slide too very much and concentrate too much on the flesh and the world that we live in. For we are not of this world. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. And so we pray. That President Trump stands for the principles of Christian life, principles of the scriptures. And so we go out, we vote for him, and then the power of everything is in the hands of God, no matter one way or the other. And we should be satisfied with that and not crushed with it if things don't go the way we think they should in the flesh. And so I think that's a trap. And so I just wanted to say that and point out in Daniel how God worked with Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was an autocrat for his time and his place on earth. What an autocrat means is it means that he was more than a president. He was an absolute sovereign who exercised powers of government, and he was not subject to any restrictions whatsoever. And then he had, in Daniel, he had the governmental power over the nation of Israel while they were under his rule. His power was absolute. If he wanted you dead, you were dead. If he wanted you alive, you were alive. If he wanted to break you, you would be broken. If he wanted to promote you, you'd be promoted. Absolute power. He was the quintessential type of man's power of government over God's people. So let's see how God dealt with Nebuchadnezzar. In Daniel 2, 19 through 23. And this is poignant to tonight and to what happens in our country, because all things are under the power of our Almighty God, no matter how they might look to us around in our surroundings. That's the point. We should cleave to the Most High, and we should not cleave to the government of men, no matter what they are like. And so he has the power over them. Daniel 2, 19 through 23. This was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changed the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in darkness, and the light dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for that thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. And let's turn to Daniel 4, 30 through 37. Nebuchadnezzar was a complete autocrat, and he was very and extremely self-righteous. Self-righteousness, by the way, is part of the old man. Daniel 4, 30 through 37. The king, Nebuchadnezzar, spake and said, "Is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee." And remember, this was an autocrat. This wasn't a president. This man was far and beyond as far as powerful than a president. And he had rule over Israel, by the way. And so we are the people of God in the United States. And the powers that be, as far as government is concerned, have rule over us. But they have no power whatsoever against our God. That's the point. The king spake in verse 32. While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice in 31 from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall thou pass over thee until thou knows, seven times shall thou pass over thee until thou knows that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomsoever he wills." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird claws. And at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar lifted up mine eyes, and at the end of the days, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he does according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, "What doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom. And excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, pray and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. And so, I would say to you tonight, folks, that no matter what the outcome, everything, and it always has been, are in the hand of our mighty God. And I just wanted to put that forth tonight. And now we move on to the old man. And so, you know, what I'm going to talk about in the next few lessons is the old man and the new man. And the old man and the new man are connected to our calling. That is to say, our calling, in our calling, the old and new man are spoken of. Let's turn to Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This has to do with the nature of human beings. It has to do with the wisdom of human beings. It has to do with the self-righteousness of human beings. It has to do with the heart of human beings, and it has to do with the carnal mind of human beings. We are all human beings. And like I said a couple of times already, we were brought forth by fallen creatures. You know, but we have a glorious end, which we will get to in the new man. And if in Ephesians 4, 17 through 24, it states, by the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul, this I say therefore and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is a trap. This is a trap of the old man when it comes to us. It's important that we don't lean unto people that are ignorant as far as the way of God. And this is a subtle trap. We could fall into a trap of really nice people that don't know the Lord whatsoever, and they're ignorant as to the way of God. But we are directed not to walk as they walk in the ignorance of their mind. And this has to do with the old man, the ignorance in the human mind of God. Verse 19, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Put off the old man. Last week I talked about the victory that we have in the Lord. Remember the title of this complete lesson, which will be in a number of parts, is victory. We have astounding victory. We have victory upon victory. And so our victory is won. We have nothing to worry about as far as our victory in Christ is concerned. But then the wrestling. And so the Apostle Paul is talking about this in Ephesians 4. Because we are still here. God has not taken us from the planet. We still have to deal with the flesh, and we still have to deal with the world. And so he's done so, and he's kept us here for his reasons. But the Apostle Paul, God the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul directs us in verse 22 of Ephesians 4, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. So the Apostle Paul is telling us that we put this old man off because he is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And so every one of us here tonight has the old man, and he operates according to deceitful lusts. To deny that would be to deny the truth of God. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. All right, so there's a work here. There's an operation going on here. There's a choice going on here. We talk about rewards. We talk about crowns. We talk about knowledge. We talk about resurrection power. Well, if you don't put on the new man and you live in the old man, no matter what that is, you're going to be weak in the knowledge of God. And we began this whole, I think, these lessons by saying the most important thing is to know God, the knowledge of God, the knowledge of his calling. And this comes through putting on the new man. Verse 23 again, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that ye put on the new man, which is after God created in righteousness and true holiness. Astounding. Astounding. The new man is created in the righteousness of Christ and in true holiness. True and perfect worship. So we have the old man and we have the new man. We're unto putting away lying, speak every man truth to his neighbor, for we are members of one another. And so this is a very important issue day by day for us, to put off the old man and put on the new man. Putting on the new man gives us deep knowledge of God, deep knowledge of our calling. We're not in a battle in the flesh. We're in a spiritual battle. And so we can say that. We can say the words. Oh, yeah, I have to put on the armor of God because I'm in a spiritual battle. We can say those words and have no idea what the spiritual battle is whatsoever. I believe this all has to do with the old man. The old man, parts of him consist of this, the carnal mind, the heart, and the flesh. And I'll be talking about those coming up. What's interesting to note is that the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with the Pharisees. I don't know how far I'm going to get this. The Lord Jesus Christ dealt continuously with the Pharisees. The Pharisees, no doubt, without question, were some of the most self-righteous human beings ever to be on the planet. Study about them in the Word of God. Study about the Pharisees. What they were like is shocking. What they were like is shocking. And what they did automatically is they judged the Lord in the flesh. They were of the old man, and they knew nothing of the new man, because they were totally comfortable in their old man. And so, because of their viewpoint of the Lord was totally in the flesh, they came at him through the flesh, because they were, in fact, most of them, totally looking at him through the righteousness of the flesh. The flesh produces a self-righteousness. Let's look at John 8, John 6, and John 5 to make a point of the old man in the Pharisees. This is a point because it's very important for us to understand what the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, went through with these men. And he came blasting at them many times. Didn't pull any punches with these men because he knew the deceit and the arrogance and self-righteousness that were contained in these men. And, I'm gonna make proof of that. John 8, 12 through 20. So here's the Lord Jesus Christ dealing with the old man in the Pharisees, John 8, 12 through 20. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees, therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Take this in, please, take this in. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and where I go, but ye cannot tell where I come and where I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man, and yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bears witness of myself, and the Father that sent me bears witness of me. Then they said unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Turn to John, chapter 6, 35 through 42. The point being, the flesh and what the Lord was dealing with in these men. True it was that they should have completely known who he was. And he proves it, even in the scriptures that they supposedly are supposed to know. John 6, 35 through 42. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that comes to me shall never hunger, and he that believes on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and him that comes to me I will in no way cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing or no one, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And the Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread of life which came down from the heavens. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I came down from the heavens? And I can't imagine these Pharisees, along with all of the rest of the Jews, saw all the miracles that the Lord performed. Many, many miracles. They accused him of performing life-giving, life-producing, bodily healing, astounding miracles. They accused him of doing it on the Sabbath day as being illegal, unlawful, if you can imagine that. They went so far as saying, we are so special, we've seen signs that you've given to the people. We want to have a special sign for us. I don't have the scripture for that, but I can produce it next study. They were so self-righteous and arrogant in their own flesh that they told the Lord that he needed to produce a specific miracle for them. John 5, 39 through 47. And what I'm pointing out here is I'm pointing out the danger of the old man, how dangerous it is, even to ones that saw the very unspeakable miracles of the Son of God, raising the dead, healing the sick, healing the lepers, bringing people back to life. just because people believed in his word. These things they all saw, if you can imagine that. The danger of the old man. John 5, 39 through 47. Search the scriptures, says the Lord, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, ye shall receive. Him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that comes from God only? Do you think that I will accuse you to the Father? There is one that accuses you, that is Moses. Get this, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words? And so these were, I can do a study on the Pharisees and what they were like and what they did, and it'll be jaw-dropping for you. I'm not going to do that tonight. It says in the scriptures that they, more or less, they took the property of widows. They made prayers in front of the people. They claimed to know the scriptures, but knew nothing about them. They had their own law that they followed. And so they were extremely self-righteous, fleshly, religious men. The dangers of the old nature. The carnal mind. Turn to Isaiah 55. The carnal mind is part of the old man. Put off the old man. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Turn to Romans 8. The carnal mind. Romans 8. Part of the old man that we're supposed to be putting off. Romans 8, 1 through 10. And I believe that these scriptures are applicable as we read them. Romans 8, 1 through 10. Awesome scriptures. Last book written in the Acts period. Therefore, there is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Holy Spirit. For the law of the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. How is that? How can the law be fulfilled in us? Because if you walk after the law, and your righteousness is in the law, then all of your life you have to produce a perfect life according to the law. Every second of every day of every week, of every month, of every year. And there was only one on this planet that could ever do that. And so there is no righteousness in the law, according to the flesh. And that is one great thing about our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the only one that could walk perfectly after the law, and he did. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, and how do we do that? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, putting on the new man. The new man is created in us in holiness. And so, that is how we walk after the righteousness of Christ. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. And so if we hold up the thoughts and ways of ignorant people in the ways of God, we find that they are walking after the carnal mind, and it's dangerous. Should we not love these people? Heaven forbid we should love them and bring them to the Lord. But should we fall to their ways, or how they live, or how they think? It's dangerous. For to be carnal minded is death, carnally minded, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is at enmity against God. It's in constant battle. It's at the different end of the pole as far as God's knowledge is concerned. And the Holy Spirit through Paul goes on to say, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. The carnal mind is a waste according to the law of God, so much that it cannot be subject to the law of God. It fails every time. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now if any man not have the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life because of righteousness. And so, certainly, our sins are forgiven. And in God's mind, our sins are put away as the east is from the west. And our sins are put away to the point where we will be before him with his righteousness, without anything being laid to our charge because of the blood of Christ. But the old man still exists. It's interesting. It's a warfare. And so we're going to find out about Ephesians 6 eventually down the line, what this warfare is all about. The heart of human beings, Matthew 15. I got about 20 minutes left. So, Matthew 15, the carnal mind, the heart of human beings. This is in, and it is, our old man. Put off the old man according to his deceitful lusts. Matthew 15, 10 through 19. And he called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand, not that which goes into the mouth defiles a man or a woman, but that which comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man or a woman. Then came, I'm adding women there, mankind. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter and said unto him, declare unto us this parable, And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Do ye not yet understand that whatever soever enters into the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart of man and women, of the old man, and that defile the man and woman. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, witness and blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man and a woman. But to eat with unwashed hands, as the Pharisees were coming at the Lord for and the disciples, defiles not a man. And so what the Lord was pointing at is he was pointing at the heart and not the simple things that the Pharisees condemned him of having dirty hands when eating. Of course, this was their way, always with the Lord. Okay, and now we have about 18 minutes, and I'm going to talk about the flesh. The flesh produces many things. The heart of the flesh, we saw here, produces many ugly things. It also produces a self-righteousness, by the way, the flesh. The flesh seeks to come to God according to its own rules, and ways. The flesh says, I will come to God the way I see fit. Because after all, I'm so good. And furthermore, people call me good. And when I die, I'm so good that I'm going to go to heavens, certainly. Think about, and many, many people that don't know the Lord believe that. Oh, I'm so good, you know, the Lord's going to know that I'm good. Really. They should study the old man. They should study about the old man. The old man has certain works to him. And then we have certain instructions that Almighty God has spoken forth as far as he's concerned. I don't know how far I'm going to get. I got like 15 minutes. The flesh seeks to come to God according to its own rules. Turn to 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. And these studies have an overall point to them. We can't forget that this study is about, we've already seen the victory, the total victory, the victory that we don't have to worry a thing about anymore. We are hid with Christ in God. There is no more secure place in any creation, spiritual or material. If we are hid with Christ in God, there can be no more secure place. We are totally and completely secure in God. But we have this warfare again. I stress that. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 16. One second. But now we have received this, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This is an Acts period book. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, not in the words of the old man, not in the words of the carnal mind, not in the words of people that are ignorant to the ways of God. For what man... Oh, I lost my place.
4:14.
14. But this natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Foolishness. Imagine that. The old man. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Walk in the new man. Because he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's turn to John 3, 1 through 8. I hope this is edifying to you. John 3, 1 through 8, the words of the Lord. Talking about true worship. And we can say that the truth of John applies to today, I believe. Salvation to the world without the Jews. John 3, 1 through 8. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a good Pharisee, a believer, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. He was afraid. A lot of people were afraid of these Pharisees, you know, for a reason of being put out of the synagogue. And so these Pharisees had the power to really impact somebody's life, maybe even their livelihood. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou dost, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Truthfully, truthfully, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truthfully, truthfully, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born or produced of the flesh is flesh. That which is born or is produced of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind blows where it lists, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it came, where it came from, and where it goes. So is every one that is born of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord is describing true worship through the Holy Spirit and not of the flesh. 10 minutes ago, the flesh produces a self-righteousness. Very dangerous. This is where we find a lot of people in the religious world. Self-righteousness. Dangerous. Very dangerous. The Pharisees were extremely self-righteous. And so they were extremely involved in the flesh. Their lives were in this world, and they loved it. Their lives were in this world. They had control of their whole world round about them, and they loved it. Isaiah 64. 4-8. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, because thee, beside thee, oh, I'm sorry, O God, beside thee, what he has prepared for them that wait for him. Thou meets him and rejoices and works righteousness, those that remember thee in thy ways. Behold, thou art wroth, for we have sinned. In those is continuance, and we shall be saved. In those ways of him is continuous, and we are saved by his ways. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is as filthy rags, every one of us. Every one of us, all, every human being born of a woman, all of our righteousness is as a filthy rag, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away, and there is none that calls upon thy name that stirs up himself to take hold of thee, for thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, we are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thine hand. We are the work of the Father's hand through the new man. Through the new man. Galatians 3. I'm going to read, I think what I'll do is I'll read a few more scriptures, and you know, I'll stop here, and I'll finish off the next session with the old man, and then get into some glory in the new man and what the new man produces and resurrection power and what the battle is all about. Why do we put on the armor? What is the armor? What does the armor protect us from? We're in a spiritual warfare. How does Satan and spiritual principalities and powers attack us? How does he do that? What does he do? How does he do that? If in fact it's a reality, and it is a reality, and we are attacked no matter how we think about it, or even if we recognize it, if you're a member of the Church of Jesus Christ's body, you are in the bullseye. Should we give undue power and strength to the evil one? No. We have complete victory over him. He is a foe that has been, I can't think of the word. What's wrong with my mind? He has been conquered completely. So how does he attack us today? How does his minions attack us today? Why do we have to put on the armor of God if we have total victory in Christ? Why is that? How is that? Do we understand that? It's certainly a great part of our calling. Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Galatians 3, 1 through 5. Somebody should make a Bible in the correct order. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, does he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? And so the Galatians, once they understood the faith through the blood of Christ, they fell back. They fell back because of ones like the Pharisees, who wanted them to follow after the flesh, after the old man. And Paul is saying, you foolish Galatians, what are you doing? How can you begin in the faith through the blood of Christ and then fall back to the law, which you can't keep? The old man. Galatians 5, 1 through 4. Galatians 5, 1 through 4. And so, this was happening during the book of Acts. The old man. The carnal man, the flesh. Galatians 5, 1 through 4. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty with Christ, Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing, in no way. For I testify again, every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law, every nit and tittle of the law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever of you are justified by the law. Ye are fallen from grace, for we, through the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision avails anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith, which works by love. Philippians 3, 4 through 9. The Apostle Paul talking about the old man and righteousness through the law, and follow his life. He said he followed as, he makes an interesting statement here. It's always been interesting to me. So I will say this before we read this. Is there righteousness through the law? Nope. Not the righteousness that God requires. There is no righteousness through the law. So let's look at this. Philippians 3, 4 through 9. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, look at this, if any other thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. So Paul is saying, if you look at the flesh, and you trust in the flesh, and you trust in self-righteousness, and you trust in the law, well, hey, here I am, and you can't be better than me. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, he was a Pharisee. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church, putting some in the position of death. Touching the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Well, wait a minute. Touching the righteousness that is in the law, blameless. Even the Apostle Paul could not be blameless totally in the law, because righteousness that God requires does not come through the law unless it's perfectly kept. And Paul the Apostle could not keep the law perfectly. He was trying to do so until he was struck down on the road to Damascus. And so he was in his mind keeping the law blamelessly as a Pharisee. But what things are gained to me? Okay, so he's talking about this righteousness which is in the law. Blameless. It's like he's going to mention what this brings concerning, okay, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. And so, when he talks about his former life as a Pharisee, talking about the righteousness that comes through the law, which was not adequate in the sight of Almighty God, he comes to the realization that all of those things he counted as a loss when he came to the knowledge of Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all these things but loss. For what? For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, referring back to the righteousness under the law, which is not adequate for Almighty God. He counted them, he suffered the loss of all things and counted, looking back at them, he counted them and all the righteousness that he thought he had in the law, he counts it as excrement. That's what the word means. He counted all the things he thought in his mind, in his old man, that were a self-righteousness through the law. He counted it as excrement when he came to the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus his Lord, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. And we saw what righteousness through the flesh is in the mind of God. It's a filthy rag, is what it is, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And so we have an example of the Apostle Paul talking about the righteousness that he thought was in the law through his mind. But I believe at that time he wasn't a believer in the blood of Christ, and once he was, he saw the true fact of what that righteousness through the law was, and that he couldn't keep it. No human being could keep it, save for Christ Jesus, the Son of God. And so the old man is dangerous, and we're not supposed to walk after the old man according to the deceitful lusts. And this can pan out into many, have many fingers in our lives. And so I thought that I would talk about that, because it has to do with our wrestling. It has to do with understanding great things of our calling. It has to do with understanding the power that Paul prays for. It has to do with the armor that Paul would have us to put on. And so I'm going to end with that tonight. And even though that might have seemed negative, I just felt that it was necessary. So thanks a lot, and I'll see you again next time.